This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We're going to talk about running for office and burgers and, Brussels sprouts. Someone wants to talk about, sounds like, the positive aspects of Hitler. I don't think we should probably go there. But look, I'll read the email. I'll tell you what. After I address running for office, I'll read the email. And let's have a conversation. All right, let's have a conversation around, well, one of the biggest monsters who ever walked the planet. Before we do that, I got these two emails. Figured I'd combine them. It says, Jesse, you say you won't run for office again, but your country needs you to. Okay, setting that aside, this guy says, would you be willing to leave your world-famous show to take a job in the administration of DeSantis or Trump? He says, like Peter Navarro, I think you'd be a good fit for DeSantis as he's more of a fire-breathing conservative. It would be a loss for us listeners, but a gain for our country. Says, I can say his name. His name is Scott. Okay. I shouldn't be here anyway. I mean, you understand that I didn't come up doing this. I don't have any reason to be here. I have no idea why this show has gotten so popular so fast and continues to explode. I mean, Chris and I talk about it. We look at the numbers and it's ridiculous. It's going up like a rocket, and I don't know why. I don't know why you like it. I'm glad you like it because I have a blast. We have a blast. I don't want to go anywhere, but I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I'm sitting in a seat I don't deserve doing something. It isn't even a real job. You work a real job. I sit down and talk. I do something. It isn't even a real job. I get to have fun every day and do something I care about. But let's focus on that part for a second. You know, I like to laugh. I like fart sounds. I like playing stupid things. I like having fun with life because I just enjoy life. Underneath all of that, I do genuinely, for everything else horrible about me as a person, and believe me, there's a lot, I do genuinely love my country a lot. I love it so much. I constantly find myself in the fight for it. I love it. It's a big part of why I joined the Marines. It's the entire reason I ended up running for Congress. I'd never run for offices before, and I certainly didn't want to go be in Congress. In fact, you couldn't pay me enough to be in Congress right now. I don't want to go fly back and forth to D.C. and live in that dump. And I moved out of D.C. on purpose. I did it because I thought Obama was going to wreck the country, and he very much did. And I wanted to try to do something to stop it. Now, where am I going with all this? I'm never running for office again. Lord willing. I mean, unless God tells me to, I'm never running for office again. And it's very simple why. Let me explain. The American people don't want what I sell. And that's okay. I can admit I'm outside of the mainstream. Now, right now, you're maybe yelling. You may be agreeing with me. But you may be yelling and say, oh, yes, they do. Yes, they did. No, no, they don't. You can go look at the old videos of young Jesse running for Congress before. I was saying the same things then that I was saying now. People don't want to hear that. People don't want to, not in America, not today, people do not want to have truth slapped across their face. People want to be told everything's okay. They want to be lied to. They want to hear nice things. They want everyone to get along. They want things to be civil. I don't want to get along. I don't want things to be civil. I don't want to heal the divide. We are in a war for the soul of this country with demonic communist monsters who are trying to destroy everything that is right and good. I want the divide wider than it is now. I want total victory over them. I don't care how that makes suburban housewives feel. I don't care if it makes you uncomfortable. You can't run for office like that. You can't run for office on eliminating. Oh yeah, Chris, go ahead, play it. This is from. Gosh, what is this? 2009 or something like that.
The last 37 plus years, Jesse Kelly said that over time he's going to get rid of Medicare. Well, I don't think it's right.
That was an ad my opponent ran against me when I said Medicare is going to bankrupt this country. Medicare and Social Security will, and I said we have to find a way to privatize these programs and get rid of them, or they're going to destroy America. That's not a left or right opinion. That's a mathematics opinion. The numbers bear that out. The interest on the debt alone is going to end up wrecking us. That will end us. If you even mention that as a Republican today, you would not win. I had Republican, especially old people, coming up to me saying, man, I can't vote for you. You're going to take away my Social Security. I said, one, that's not what I said at all. Two, so you're going to vote for the communists because she runs ads same time. Again, people aren't buying what I'm selling. And I'm not complaining about that. I'm not bitter. The greatest thing in the world that ever happened to me was losing running for Congress twice. I get to do this now instead of that. This is the greatest. I'm not bitter about it. I understand I'm outside of the mainstream. So no, I'm not running. As far as would I ever work for DeSantis or Trump? I don't know what to say, because here's what I want to say. What I want to say is this. No, not in a million years. No, not because I am the luckiest person in the history of the world. I would love to sit here and tell you I would never do it. I would never do it. I would never do it. That would be very, very difficult, depending on the job offered depending on the job offered. It would be very difficult to say no. What if Donald Trump goes, he wins the primary, wins a general election against Eric Adams? And what if Donald Trump, not that I think this is going to happen, by the way, but what if Donald Trump gives me a call and says, hey, Jesse, the FBI has become the weaponized arm of the Democratic Party. I don't know exactly how to deal with this, or I think I have some idea how to deal with this, but I would love it if you would take a year, 2 years off, come work in my administration and come clean out the FBI. How could I turn my back on my country like that? Now, don't get me wrong. That's not going to happen. Don't worry. I'm not going anywhere. But if that happens, I mean, there'd be no reason on paper for me to do that, right? Stay here, continue to have fun. Chris and I will eat pizza bagels and we'll make jokes and laugh at Maria Salazar for the next 20 years, right? That's what I'd rather do. But how could I turn my back on my country like that if something good and purposeful was presented to me as a way we can solve something? I don't know. I would love to look, obviously that's something I'd have to sit down with the wife. We'd have to discuss it. I don't know. But that would be very difficult for me to say no. I feel like I have a duty to this country. And that's part of the reason I love doing this show so much. People talk about running for office. Why would I run for office? Outside of the office of the presidency, I probably have more influence doing this show than any congressman right now. I mean, I have congressmen and senators who call and text me all the time. How should I message this? Did you see this? Hey, would you push this out? Hey, can we do this? What do you think about this? Having that kind of influence over that many people is much more powerful than just one. But who knows what the future brings? Look, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago? I was sitting on an RV lot in Alvin, Texas, a little town on the outskirts of Houston. 4 or 5 years ago, I was sitting on the outskirts of Alvin, Texas. I was an RV sales manager. I was making great money. The mortgage was paid. Both car payments were paying for. Actually, that was about the time we finally paid my wife's car off. I've never had a car paid off. That was exciting. And the kids were in it. We had a good school and got a good little neighborhood. And I didn't know where things would go. I certainly had no idea I'd be sitting here talking to the entirety of the United States of America on a Friday night. I didn't know. I didn't have any idea. But who knows, right? Who knows? And look, you laugh. I'm telling you, this is going to be Trump's opponent if Trump wins the primary.
This is a real burden on New Yorkers as we're trying to do the right thing. We already, as I stated, we already have an overburdened shelter system. So now we're talking about, as you stated, food, clothing, school. This is going to impact our schools because we do not turn away individuals because they're undocumented. Translation services.
Mark my words, there's your Democrat nominee for 2024. I'm telling you, Chris, I see it as clear as day. All right. Somebody wants to address Hitler's anti-communist beginnings and where that kind of went off the rails. You want to do a little history with me? You want to pull up a chair? You want to do a little history together? Let's do a little history together that'll probably be offensive. Speaking of off the rails, you know they're about to announce that we're officially in a recession, right? They're about to announce we're officially in a recession, and saw a little number out of Wall Street today. Guy I trust told me, hey, you understand the last time we saw a number like this, it was Great Recession of 2008 time. It might be ugly coming up here pretty quickly. Don't think we're at the peak of ugly. We're not at Chris level yet, all right? Do you have gold in your physical possession? And I didn't ask if you had gold stocks somewhere or someone's holding some gold for you. Do you right now inside of your home have gold, a way to buy things outside of the U.S. dollar? Oxford Gold Group will deliver gold to your front door. Call 833-995-GOLD. Tell them Jesse told you to call. Get some gold delivered to your front door. 833-995-GOLD.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. It's time to get a little bit spicy, apparently. Here's one, but this is a good one. Dear Jesse, can you address Hitler's anti-communist beginnings? Seems like he was fighting a lot of the same stuff we're currently fighting. If he went off the rails somewhere along the way, if he went off the rails somewhere along the way, that can be discussed too. But it seems to me, unless I'm reading this wrong, he didn't start off crazy at all. Germany was thriving under his rule and people loved him. It also seems like everything I've learned deliberately left this stuff out. Okay. And so the subject is actually a question you probably won't read on the air. Oh, honey, don't you know who you're dealing with here? Just the thought of it being wildly offensive is intriguing to me. So let's have a real, honest, in-your-face history discussion about what happened and why it happened. We have to go back to World War One. You can't ever talk about Hitler and World War Two and the Holocaust and things like that without going back to World War One. Rewind all the way to World War One. Remember, you got to lay this out in your mind because a lot of people don't know. You probably already know this, but you got to lay this out in your mind. You have Germany. Germany is partnered with Austria-Hungary and the Ottoman Empire, Turkey. We'll call it Turkey. Germany, Austria-Hungary, the Ottoman Empire. All right, here we go. They're fighting against France, Britain. We're going to forget about us. We don't come in until later. It doesn't matter for our purposes. They're fighting against France, Britain, and Russia. Now, communism as an ideology was starting to get revved up in a small way back then. Should we socialize? Let's do socialism. Maybe some people were at this point in time, we're talking World War One era, people were getting tired of the king era, the monarch era, and they wanted something different. Something different. Now, remember, different doesn't necessarily mean better. Almost always, historically, different means worse. Remember, we in America, we're one of the exceptions where we fought a revolution and we got better afterwards. Most of the time, it means worse. Russia... They had a czar, Tsar Nicholas II. His family had been in power for like 300 years. They had all kinds of upheaval in Russia, and there's a lot that goes into that. But Germany, what they really wanted during World War One was they wanted Russia to get out of the war. And if you look at a map, you'll understand why. Germany thought it could handle Great Britain and France. Russia, forcing them to fight a two-front war was a big problem for them. And Russia's leadership was on much shakier ground than Great Britain's or France's. So Germany thought there's an opportunity here. What they did was, and there's a lot more to this story, they took Vladimir Lenin, the communist agitator, and they trained him in a secret sealed train back to Russia so he could whip up the communist revolution. The communist revolution kicks off in Russia. Now, there are some parts of this you need to understand. There were a ton of Jews involved in the communist revolution. There are reasons for this, though. Please, Chris is over there. I don't need you to jump in, Chris, okay? There are reasons for this, though. You know what a pogrom is, or pogrom? There are two different ways you can put it. You know what a pogrom is? This was the norm throughout Europe and definitely throughout Russia. This is prior to World War One, prior to Holocaust stuff, prior to all this. Jews have always been, especially in very Christian Catholic Europe, Jews have always been kind of on the outs. They've always been kind of on the outs. And they would regularly, politicians would scapegoat the Jews if something went wrong, child got kidnapped, there's a plague, I bet it's those dirty Jews in the Jewish part of town. And they would whip up mobs to go murder the men, assault the women in horrible ways. And this would take place just like it's in your hometown. All of a sudden, there'd be a mob whipped up and normal people, your accountant who is non-Jewish, he's kicking in your door to kill you and rape your wife. And they were that bad. And the Jews were going through this in Russia underneath the czars. Communism, it sounds like I'm defending them, but I am. Communism had never done that to them because the communists had never taken power yet. Communism was a way for a lot of Jews to rebel against the Tsar and the pogroms and things like that. So there were a ton of Jews involved in communism in Russia. Now, let's go to Germany because this is going to play a big part of it. Germany, they viewed Russia... And what happened with all that, they viewed Russia as the arch nemesis of them eventually. They viewed it as this evil thing, and communism as this evil thing, and Hitler was really, really angry about losing World War One. A lot of the really hardcore patriotic Germans would say, honestly, and this was pretty true, they said, we never lost a battle in Germany. That's because World War One was not fought in Germany. It was really mainly fought in France. They went into France. Now, just hang with me here, because there's more. It's a long, complicated story. Now, let's go to Catholicism, and Judaism. Now, they get along fine. Now, at least as far as I know, I'm not a Catholic and I'm not a Jew. Chris, are you people getting along with the Catholics just fine? Yeah, for the most part, Chris says. Well, that was not the case in Europe. There's a lot of history here. But Catholics back then, probably now too, but did not believe in loaning people money and charging interest. They thought that was a violation of their beliefs. Jews wouldn't loan each other money with and charge interest, but they would loan non-Jews that. That attracted Jews to the banking industry a lot. The banking industry. Follow with me here. So let's just focus on Germany here. The Jews have taken over, even though they're only about 1% of the German population at the time, the Jews have taken over the banking industry in Germany. Now, World War One ends. World War One ends. Germany gets absolutely abused at the Versailles Treaty. Abused at the Versailles Treaty. They blame Germany for the whole thing. They took away hugely valuable parts of their territory. And on top of that, they charged them reparations. It'd be like telling a mechanic, I'm going to cut off your left arm and you owe me $500 a day. I mean, it's just we broke the nation. Now, broken nations do broken things, things people don't talk about. We're not quite done yet. Hang on.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. They wanna get my gold on the ceiling.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday. Back to our question. The lady asked a question about Hitler. She didn't think I'd read it on the air. Seems like an anti-communist, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm going through the history of it. Okay, so post-Versailles Treaty, World War I, Germany gets slaughtered with these horrible reparations payments they have to make, territory taken away. Germany obviously can't keep up, and they start printing money. On top of the printing of the money, all this poverty, well, on top of it, in part because of it, all this poverty is now created in Germany. I mean, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about this. Think about yourself. I want you to think about yourself. I want you to think about your friends, or just yourself and your own little circle of friends in your own little area. I want you to picture 6 months from now, you and all of your friends being evicted from your homes because you don't have any money anymore. The money you do have is worthless. You can't therefore make the mortgage payment, and now you're kicked out of your home. On a massive scale, that's what was happening to the people in Germany. Now, there's more. Back to the Jewish thing. The Jews have, since the Romans scattered them to the winds during the diaspora, Jews have still joined together and worked together and fought together in various countries. Don't get me wrong, there's a bunch of Jews that dislike each other and factions and things like that, but there's always been a Jewish network that they've had to rely on because they got scattered to the winds. They were always then and now great with money, great involved in finance, great in money. It's part of their value system as a culture. It's not a good thing, or actually I think it is a good thing, but it's not a bad thing. It's not a good, you don't have to look at it as a good thing or bad thing. That's part of their values as a culture. I make fun of Chris for being cheap, but I'm not even really kidding. Chris is really, really cheap, like really cheap. No, Chris, no, don't defend yourself right now. No, you're not. Chris says good with money is what he tried to say. No, no, Chris. No, you're not frugal. You're cheap. You're cheap. Okay, well, whatever. There was an international network of Jews who had access to dollars. And what's that old saying? When there's blood on the streets, what do? What's the saying in finance? It's as old as time. What do? When there's blood on the streets, you buy property. Right now. We're going through it in this country. As the market's going down and we're going into a recession, do you know what all the people with money, Jewish and otherwise, are doing in this country? You know what rich people are doing? They're taking huge chunks of cash and they're buying up parts of the stock market. Why? Because when the market rebounds, they're all going to be 10 times as rich as they were before. The Jews in this environment in Weimar Germany were better off financially than many of the Germans. And they began, remember, you pictured yourself and your neighbors being evicted from your homes. The Jews began to buy up those homes. Now, they didn't do anything wrong, at least in my opinion. They didn't do anything wrong. You got evicted from the home. I think I can make money on the home. I didn't kick you out of the home. I'm buying it. That created extra Jewish resentment where there was already Jewish resentment because of the loaning of money and banks. And remember, during hard financial times, this is universal, during hard financial times, banks become the bad guy. Banks because you view the bank as being a big piggy bank. A bank is for money. Why are you cheating the people? Why are you? The banks become the bad guy. Well, if the banks become the bad guy and all the Jews own the banks, now the Jews are the bad guy. And that's the way it was. And this is called the Weimar Republic in Germany post-World War I. Now, there was also a lot of social degradation going on in Germany at this time. A lot of people don't know this. This is not taught in the history books, probably understandably. We're not the first country in the history of the world to struggle with an LGBTQ Air Force problem. Gigantic LGBTQ, including tranny clubs, began popping up in places like Berlin as the public gets more poor. And the systems of the culture begin rotted out, everything rots out. Well, if you're in a society now where people are poor, middle-class people have become poor, you're watching this social degradation around you,
inevitably there will be groups that rise. There will be groups that rise. There were the Nazis weren't the only one. There were tons. The communists, by the way, were knee-deep in all this, trying to take power themselves. The communists were a major political party in Germany at this time. The Nazis were beginning to become a major political party in Germany at this time. But there were several different parts of different groups. There were hardcore communists, less hardcore communists, hardcore Nazis, less hardcore Nazis. How does Hitler come into this? Hitler didn't start any of this movement. What Hitler was this, an unbelievable speaker. That was his job. The army first discovered that about him, and it was part of his job in the army. He was a great speaker. Hitler was sent by the army to investigate these Nazis who were causing trouble at these beer halls, and they were very curious. The government was worried about these guys maybe trying to take power. Hitler was actually supposed to go investigate them. He hears their speeches. He actually likes it. And while he's on a mission to investigate them, Hitler gets up in the beer halls and starts giving his own speeches, and he's giving them better than anyone else. Now, Hitler wasn't smart. Hitler was an idiot and a nut job and a drug addict. But Hitler gave a great speech, right? The Nazis, a lot of very powerful people behind the Nazis, realized this can be our mouth. This can be our mouth. And that's how they began to rise. The anti-communist stuff really comes from two major places with Hitler. He genuinely hated Jews. He hated them. He blamed them for World War I. He blamed them for subverting his own government. He blamed them for Russia. He blamed them for the financial problems of Germany. And that was not that uncommon of a view in Germany at the time, even though the Jews are only 1% of the population. You want to talk about a scapegoat. But that was a view that caught on. And there's something else you said. I just want to correct you before we wrap this up and try to get to some more Ask Dr. Jesse questions. People talk about people loved him and people loved him and whatnot. Hold on that. Yes, there were a lot of people in Germany who loved him. I actually talked to an older German gentleman myself one time, and he said, yeah, his whole family used to gather around when Hitler would give a speech talking about the greatness of Germany, and they loved him. Now, they didn't know that Auschwitz was going on at the time. They weren't broadcasting that. He had no idea, and he felt like an idiot later on, but he said, we didn't know. We had been kicked around and we had been down, and along comes this guy who sounds pro-Germany, and he tells us we're as good as anyone else and we're going to be great again, and we loved that. But the Nazis were never a majority party in Germany. Initially, they had 2% of their parliament, basically, their Congress. They eventually fought and murdered their way to about 30%, and that's when they took over the country. There was never a 70% Nazi Germany, 80% Nazi Germany. Everyone loves Hitler, so on and so forth. Hitler hated communists, yes, but Hitler blamed Jews, and really he made them both one in the same. That's why his goal was initially to deport all the Jews out of Germany. He was a nutball and a genocidal maniac, and just there's nothing good you can say about him. But the guy gave a great speech, and he played on the fears of the time. And the fears of the time were these Jews and the communists, they're the reason we're down. That is a little... Now, I could probably do another hour on that, but we have to do an Ask Dr. Jesse question roundup here because that took a little longer than I wanted. Let us first save you a little bit of money on some summer sheets. Need some summer sheets? I always need summer sheets. Because as soon as it starts getting hot out, I wake up and I'm sweating. And is there anything more miserable than waking up in your own daggone sweat? MyPillow has these Percal sheets, though. There's a screaming deal on them right now for a limited time. Limited supply is the reason there's a limited time. Otherwise, they just go with it. Queen size is normally $89.98. Right now, it's $39.98. These things have a 10-year warranty. They're so cool and crisp. Percal sheets. But you have to go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code Jesse, and do so quickly, okay? Quickly. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or you can call 800-845-0544. Go get yourself a couple sets of Percal sheets while they're on sale, baby. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday final segment. Gosh, it sucks. I have so much more I need to say today, Chris. That'll have to wait till Monday. Remember, Monday, Medal of Honor Monday's coming, and that's always a good time. Before we get into a little email roundup here, I did want to do this real quickly. I want to remind you, and really when I do this, I'm reminding myself that during these hard times we have now and hard times that are coming, we have an obligation to give back. If you're hurting, think how bad the Gold Star widows are hurting right now. Think how bad the first responder families are hurting right now. Catastrophically injured veterans aren't somehow insulated from inflation. Tunnel to Towers, they ask you for $11 a month. You can sign up to do it automatically. You'll never know what's gone. Go to T2T.org, and you can go look them up on charity ratings. I encourage you to do so. The money actually goes to the widows. It pays off mortgages for these widows. It builds homes for these catastrophically injured veterans. T2T.org. $11 a month is all they ask for. Tunnel to Towers, just a blessed organization.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Dear Oracle Menu Whisperer, we talk all the time about our gross leaders trying to disarm us. We also talk all the time about the sad state of our military. I believe there's a connection there no one is paying attention to. I don't believe our current military is being designed to take on other countries. I believe our current military is being designed to blindly follow orders to kill us, the dissidents, the unvaxxed, the political opposition, the ones who wouldn't turn on us, plainly staying out of the service. What say you? Here's what I say. Every single communist regime in the history of mankind has purged the military of their ideological opponents for just the reason you described. That's because they have a desire to turn their military against who they view as their biggest enemy. How many Democrats in this country do you think? I mean, I'm talking about the communists. I'm talking about academics, Democrat politicians. How many of them do you think China is a bigger enemy than you? Oh, they're equipping the military to go after their enemies. You bet they are. Dear great Duke of Radio, I made the world-famous Jesse Kelly burgers many times for my family. Tonight, my husband, soon to be ex, maybe after this, made them for us. First, I had to stop him from grabbing the cheddar cheese. Should have been a clue right there. Then, no garlic powder, no seasoned salt, no butter. He had the audacity to use reduced fat ground beef. Keto-friendly buns do better. All he used was Chipotle Tabasco. Do you think he did this on purpose? What kind of game is that? Signed, disappointed. Listen, ladies. It's adorable how naive you are. It's adorable. Do you know how many times I have unloaded the dishwasher in our house? We moved into our house a few years back. You know how many times I've unloaded the dishwasher in this house? One time. Do you know why it was only one time? It's not because I'm unwilling to do things around the house. I unloaded the dishwasher one time, and many, 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 many things in that dishwasher, they didn't end up getting back to the spot where the wife wanted them to be. The wife then decided after that she would handle the unloading of the dishwasher from this point on. Now our boys have to do it. It's part of their chores around the house. But do you think I did that on accident? Or do you think I did that on purpose? Do you think I really thought the measuring cup went with the regular glasses we drink out of? Or do you think I threw it up there and acted like I had no clue? Lady, he messed up my burgers on purpose so you'd have to make them from now on. Gosh, I support him. Genius! Dear Shepherd Jesse, I originally heard about your show from a dime Latina friend of mine, and I'm no slouch either. Of course, she says, if I had to bet, I'd say the vast majority of your female fans are either hot, funny, or both. Tell us about your audience, males and females you've actually met, so we know who our fellow listeners are. Listen, thank you, says I can say her name. Her name is Amber. Chris, that is one of those names. Every Amber turns out to be hot. I don't know why that is. There's something about it. There's, look, it's like the white coat theory.
You don't know the white coat theory? If she has a white coat, she's hot. It's just, it's pretty much universal. Oh, Chris, it's true. I know you haven't heard it because you're a child. It's my job to give you wisdom. I know they don't have coats down here, Chris. Anyway, yes, I've met a ton of people from the show. I would say, I mean, yeah, I guess there are a lot of dimes. I never really thought about it in that way. I guess there are a lot of dimes, aren't there? Huh, how about that? Look at us, Chris. Hello, Chef Jesse. I recently had a friend tell me he loved Brussels sprouts. I told him he can keep every one of those disgusting balls of gross for himself. What's your favorite vegetable? Velveeta. Dear Penless Jesse, I'm glad you found your pen. You posed a question as to which weapon you should use instead of a pen on ear. Without a doubt, it should be nunchucks. What, Chris? Okay, I actually had a pair of nunchucks when I was a kid because I was super into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I really, really wanted to be like Michelangelo, and I tried and tried and tried and tried and tried to figure out how to use those nunchucks for so long. I hit myself in the head with those things so many times. Gosh, it sucked. Hi, Oracle. Thanks for your advice. I'm finally out of rotting California, one of the best decisions I ever made, even though I didn't know a single person in the red area of the red state I chose. I need your advice. I left a successful Emmy-winning career in Hollywood and just decided to take a full-time teaching position at a local public school. I really want to do work that is meaningful and fight communists, but I'm feeling like a hypocrite working for the public educational system that I believe should be abolished. Can one person make a difference, or should I pursue conservative filmmaking or teach at a Christian private school instead? Thankfully, 70% of the parents and teachers in the school share my values. Thank you, wise one, and probably not best to say my name. I will not say your name, and I will say this. We need you in public school. We can't just act, look, even if you believe government schools should be eliminated, as do I, that doesn't mean we can't live in the real world. We can't live in a world of make believe. And the real world is, in the United States of America, public school is sadly ingrained in our society. Many, many people go to it. Many people don't have a choice to go to it. People don't have the time or money to go put their kids here, private school there. Well, they got a private school here in Houston. It's like $30,000 a year per kid. No, don't worry. Don't worry. You won't see the Kelly boys there. But I about fell over. So a lot of people go to public schools. We need you there. We don't. Look, if you leave, who replaces you? If you leave, what if it's the next LGBTQ groomer trying to teach kids that they're all gay and they all need to switch genders? We need you right there more than anything. Yo, Jesse, I love your TV show and show on the first. I'm a huge fan of the simulcast. I feel like I need more handsome Dr. Handsome in my life. What's the status of your book? Says his name is Dan. By the way, remember, you can watch me do the radio show on thefirsttv.com/Jesse. That's thefirsttv.com/Jesse. You're going to have to stay tuned on the book. I will tell you, it is coming along nicely. It is coming along nicely. I'm not going to leave you in the dark on the book. I did not realize what a long process it is. It's not like you're like, I want to write a book, and then next month they're publishing your book. That ain't how it works at all. Keep your chin up. You have fun this weekend. Enjoy friends, family. Practice with your weapon. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.